Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, Olivia, it's wonderful to have you back. Happy belated birthday. How was your trip? How was Iceland? Tell me everything.
Thank you. Iceland is a dream. It is probably one of my most favorite places I have been to the point that I'm planning on going back in the summer.
That's awesome. It looked beautiful in the pictures you sent me. It looked cold, but it looked awesome.
You know, surprisingly, it wasn't as cold as I was anticipating. I guess I just imagined it was just going to be this frozen Arctic tundra. And I honestly think the Midwest is colder.
Really?
It was like 22 was probably the coldest. And then one day it got up to 48 degrees and the snow melted and the scenery looked completely different. So not as cold as I thought.
Well, you could have saved yourself a bunch of money and just went to Michigan. It's basically the same thing.
Probably not as pretty.
Hey, come on now. It's beautiful.
Is Michigan the land of fire and ice? I don't think so.
No, but they don't call them the Great Lakes for nothing. You know what I mean? So that's awesome. What'd you do? Anything fun? I know you saw the Northern Lights, which was pretty rad.
Oh, yes. We did a lot. So, rented a car, stayed about 30 minutes outside of town in a cabin on a lake, which was just so peaceful and beautiful. And every morning I woke up and looked at mountains and a lake. And we just explored most of the west and some of the south, like central area. Definitely went to Reykjavik and explored the town a couple days. Went to the main church that's in the city and listened to the men's choir sing, which was really cool. They were singing Christmas songs in Icelandic. Of course, you knew the tunes, but didn't know the lyrics. Right. But very beautiful. The food is actually really good. Saw a lot of like scenic things, lots of waterfalls, cliffs, the ocean, just beauty. And I just want to go back in the summertime and hike all these waterfalls when it's like green and lush and the puffins are there, you know.
Was it like a lot of seafood and stuff like that? Because I know they're pretty well known for that, right?
They do fish, but they do salted fish and like to preserve it for a really long time. And then a lot of the restaurants were like sustainable. You know, I went to my first Michelin star restaurant and they get their ingredients from local Icelandic vendors for the most part. And they just kind of like give back and make sure that everything is fresh and local as best they can. But I ate reindeer. I ate goose.
Oh no, Rudolph.
Yeah, yes. Rudolph's gone. And the little goose. Goose tastes like duck, in my opinion. But those are probably the most bizarre things that I ate.
How did they treat you like as an American there? That's always I'm always interested in that because there's some places you go and they're like, oh, you're American. That's awesome. And there's other places where they're like, oh, great. Oh, you're American.
Yeah. No, I mean, like the people are nice. They're not outwardly nice. You know, like they're not going to go out of their way to like greet you or whatever. But if you had a question and needed something, everybody was very happy. Even when I was going through security, I had to do this like massive check of all my stuff I was carrying on the plane when we were leaving Iceland. And just the people there were just happy. You know, people are just, they're nice and happy. The crime is low. Most people speak English because the population of Iceland is only like 400,000 people total. So it's a very small niche, I guess, culture.
Okay.
I tried to look on Babbel and Duolingo to like work on my Icelandic, and it's not an option. So I feel like most people speak English, definitely, you know, speaking Icelandic, but definitely can't really understand it. So it wasn't a place that I went and practiced the language, but amazing, wonderful. It was like being on a different planet. Like sometimes you looked over and we said, oh, we look like we're on Mars. And then the next minute you're in like the Arctic snowy mountains and it looks like you're on the moon and the sun never really peaks. So there's only sunshine between 11 and like 4 right now. And so you'd get up at like 7 and it's pitch black, but like the world continues. And so the sun would like rise, but it would never get fully into the sky. So it just looked like a sunset all the time. And then by the time it like got to where it was going, it went right back down. And the moon was so close. It was like you could touch it. I mean, just amazing.
Well, it sounds like it do wonders for my seasonal depression.
Like, but there's so much to look at that I feel like even if you had it, it would be just like a happy place.
No, that's just me. I'm a curmudgeon in general. I'm like, I was like, it's so beautiful. And I'd be like, I need more sunlight. It's dark at 3 p.m.
Well, then in the summertime, ridiculous. You get like 18 plus hours of sunlight. So it kind of catches up to you.
Yeah.
But I will say I've been dealing with jet lag and I didn't anticipate that as much as I have had it. I have been just exhausted for the last couple of days. And
can I share what happened? Adjusting. Is that okay? Like, if
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
you can totally throw me under the bus.
So I put on Facebook that we, you know, we had a scheduling issue because we did. Olivia landed and was like, yep, I'm going to be ready for tonight. I'm going to take like a quick nap. I've like got my story picked out. I know what we're doing. And then I'm texting her like throughout the day and I'm not hearing anything. And then finally at like 9 o'clock, I'm like, all right. So you were extremely jet lagged and are like unconscious right now. So like, don't worry about it. And then I get a text because literally last time you texted me was like 12:45 in the afternoon. Yeah. I mean, it was like early.
I feel like I texted you when I was on the plane maybe. And then I got home at maybe 4:30, 4 o'clock or
and
something.
And then 6:45 in the morning the following day, I get a message. I'm so sorry. I fell asleep. I was like, yeah, you went into a coma. You slept for like 18 hours.
I didn't even have like my phone on Do Not Disturb. I woke up to so many missed calls, text messages. I was like, out.
Yeah.
So my apologies, but I'm better now.
Yeah. Our scheduling issue was that somebody
slept through the schedule.
So definitely apologize for that. But I'm just so glad you had a good time. You earned that sleep, it sounds like, and being able to, you know, celebrate your birthday in a big way is always cool. So I'm super excited that you got to do that and that it was everything that you hoped it would be. Like I said, the pictures that you sent were absolutely awesome. So
yeah, I'll eventually get to posting. I was thinking I had a really great year. 2024 was a great year of travel for me and just experiences and turning 35 in the most beautiful, in my opinion, country was just awesome. And so I'm excited to see like what 35 and the year 2025 has in store.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, that's one of my favorite things that we do is kind of asking people what their favorite part of 2024 was and what they're looking forward to for 2025. So definitely be on the lookout for that because, you know, we love to hear from the locksmiths and the listeners. So you know, I think as we get closer to the end of the year, we would love to hear from you on that as well. So, but again, I'm just super, super glad that you had such a great time.
I did. I might move there.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. to record a podcast with you. Not
done. Fine.
Visit, do all you want. Don't move there. Like we have a hard enough time. You live in New Orleans, you know, to Iceland. I will tell you, we had, if you are in the Nashville area or if they do this in like any of the areas that, you know, you may be listening to, we took, Millie and like her cousin, we went, this weekend to, it's called Zoolumination. I think I might've talked about it last year, but it's this paper lantern festival, but when I say paper lanterns, I'm going to have to send you some pictures. They build these huge, like it was, you know, an 8-foot-tall praying mantis. Like every member of the Chinese New Year calendar, like a giant version of that animal. Then they do like Santa's Village, and it's all like paper and like and lights. So we took the girls, and I mean, it was just beautiful. I'll send you some pictures, but if they have that in your area, definitely check it out, because it's worth it. It's fairly priced and a lot of fun, especially if little kids, because like they move, which is weird. It's like this big paper mache, like they had, you know, reindeer, and their heads were moving back and forth, and like it's, I don't know, it was really, really cool.
Well, that's really cool.
Also, special shout out to my mother-in-law, who I know listens to this podcast and is going to be listening to it, you know, probably going to be laid up for the next couple of days. My mother-in-law today, we dropped Millie off so we could go do some Christmas shopping, and she's like, I'm going to break down some boxes in the garage. Like she's just going to hang out and be fine. And we get to Target and we're like walking around and we are there maybe 5 minutes. We get a phone call. It's my father-in-law. He's like, your mom broke her arm. We're going to the emergency room.
Oh, so gosh.
She was flattening boxes by, you know how, you know, when you get like an Amazon package, like you take the tape off and then you fold it and it flattens up. She decided to go, you know, Super Saiyan on it and was just kicking through all of the boxes. So would put it on the ground, then like lift her foot up to like smash it flat, and apparently hit one, and the box went out from underneath her, and her feet went over her head, and she like snapped her arm into completely. So,
oh my goodness! Well, I hope she's okay.
Yeah. Well, I got to go to the emergency room and see her right as they were giving her the fentanyl, and it was hilarious because I'm standing there with Millie, and they're giving her the fentanyl, and she's like, "Yeah, I was just in there and." I hit the box and my feet went woo. And then the doctor came by, and she was still in the hallway. They hadn't got her a room, and she was still in the hallway. And the doctor came by and they said, hey, the x-ray tech's going to be over here to shoot her in just a minute. And I'm standing there with Millie. I looked at her and said, hey, you don't have to shoot her. She's got plenty of good years left. I was like, she's not a horse.
That's what you said?
Yes. And the doctor started laughing, and she was like, come on, you're going to traumatize that kid. I was like, no, it's her grandmother. She needs to see it happen. Like, you know what I mean? But, so it's going to be an interesting holiday because it's her favorite time of year. You know, she was all hopped up on fentanyl being like, you got to come to the house and help me wrap Christmas gifts. I was like, they make gift bags in every size. Like, we'll get it figured out.
Put some tissue paper in them.
So wishing you a speedy recovery if you're listening to this. Hope you're, you know, feeling better. She's getting prepped for surgery right now because they're going to have to, like, she messed it up. So they're going in to do surgery in the morning and all that. So,
well wishes.
Yeah. If you're listening, send positive vibes, because while the fentanyl is definitely fun, you know, she was also like, don't give me too much. I don't want to die because it's, you know, fentanyl. And I looked at the doctor. I said, don't let her lie to you. She's got a problem.
So she's not going to invite you back.
No, I'm not. I'm a lot of fun to have in the emergency room. I told Kara, I was like, if something ever happens and I'm not making jokes, please that I'm terrified, because we were supposed to go over there for dinner. They were going to grill steaks and everything. And so when they called us, we're on the way, you know, to meet them. And I was like, so, you know, Greg didn't break his arm. He could still grill those steaks. You know what I mean? So,
get home, cook the dinner.
But no, in all seriousness, definitely hope that you're feeling better, and we love you, and we're sending out positive vibes. But all right, we've been chatting now for like 14 minutes, and it's just because I missed you, and I waited to hear all about your Iceland trip before. I didn't want to like have you tell me about it before we got on the podcast, because I wanted the listeners to be able to hear. We've done the Gabby Gabby. Let's get to the Stabby Stabby. This week is your case, Olivia. What are we breaking down? What do you got for us this week?
In 2012, two young women, Karina Rosario and Faith Hedgepeth, shared an apartment while attending the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. On September 7th, 2012, Karina Rosario repeatedly tried to reach her roommate. She ultimately had their friend Marisol Rangel pick her up to bring her to her apartment she shared with Faith. The girls called for their friend but got no response. Marisol went to Faith's bedroom door, not knowing that a horrific scene was behind it. Faith was nude from the waist down, bloodied, and partially wrapped in her comforter. Terrified, the girls immediately called 911. Detectives arrived shortly after and secured the crime scene. As they looked for evidence, it appeared that Faith had died from severe head trauma. The apparent weapon was an empty rum bottle that was found bloody and broken nearby. Blood splatter was seen throughout the bedroom. It would later be determined that Faith had been sexually assaulted. Faith Danielle Hedgepeth was born in North Carolina on September 26, 1992. Her family were members of the Halawasaponi Native American tribe. She grew up in a happy family. Faith was active in church, singing in the choir. And as a member of the Honor Society and a member of her high school cheerleading squad, Faith was smart and athletic. She graduated from high school and attended UNC Chapel Hill on a full scholarship. She had the goal of being the first person in her family to graduate from college. At the time of her attack, she was in her third year. But the question remained, who would do this to such a bright young woman? So, John, before we get going, have you heard of this case? Like, where are you thinking right now?
I haven't heard of this one, but again, this is something to me that is absolutely terrifying. And, you know, because it very much sounds like another one of these like home invasion kind of things. And I think, you know, lately it feels like we've done a few of these. Like when you look at the Idaho murders that we covered a while ago, you know, also the Halloween case that we did that was very similar where, you know, roommates at home and, you know, hear screaming and the attackers like running out of the house. It's just like, you know, when you think of college, I think now, especially like, you know, doing this podcast for so long, like I know I'm a long ways from it, but when my kid gets ready for college or starts looking at places that they're going to go, like this, these stories are going to be some of the things that are in the front of my mind where it's like, okay, do you have, you know, just make sure you got a taser on the nightstand, like how many locks you got, window sensors you got, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, I don't know, it's not ringing any bells yet, but it is definitely like, these just get to me, right? Like the, especially when it's a young woman, you know, mm-hmm. being a dad, they just hit a little bit harder.
Yeah. Well, detectives needed to know the events that led to Faith being brutally attacked. Karina and Faith had been friends and roommates since their first year at UNC. When questioned, Karina told detectives that Faith attended an event at her sorority. She then said Faith joined her at the campus library where the pair studied until about 11:30 p.m. The girls went home to get ready for a night out at the local nightclub called The Thrill. Security footage would confirm that Faith and Karina left together. According to Karina, the pair got home at around 3 a.m. She helped Faith get to bed before she called Jordan McCreary to pick her up. Karina and Marisol returned the next morning to find the gruesome scene, and detectives started their search. A neighbor living below the girl's apartment told police that she heard three loud thumping noises around 3. That is about the time that Karina said the girls returned home. Now Faith's Facebook and phone records were searched. Detectives discovered that Faith accessed her Facebook around 3 a.m., and she also sent a message from her phone at 3:40 a.m. to a guy named Brandon Edwards. And this text said, "Hey, B, can you come over here, please? Karina needs you more. You know, please let her know you care." Karina had reportedly tried to contact Brandon Edwards from her phone around the same time. He was interviewed and cleared. Karina mentioned to the police that her ex-boyfriend had previously threatened to kill Faith after she helped her break up with him and got a restraining order. Eric Jones was brought in for questioning as there was now a motive. Jones denied any involvement. He also gave a DNA sample that was later compared to the DNA found on Faith's body. It was not a match, and Jones was ultimately cleared as well.
Can I say, like, that is also something, you know, you should never, even when you're angry, be like, oh, I'm going to kill someone, right? Like, I'm going to kill this person because, you know, we've done enough of these where, like, an ex-boyfriend or, like, friend has been mad and said some stuff, and then that person actually turns up to be, you know, murdered or injured or something like that. And then someone is out there being like, yeah, well, this person said they were going to do it. So,
right.
You know, I can imagine being that. It doesn't sound like he's a good dude, right? If there's any kind of like restraining order or anything like that. Again, I don't, you know, it's all speculation. I don't know him, but typically, you know, there's a reason that type of order is in place. But, you know, I can imagine if you say something out of anger, like, oh man, I'm going to kill that chick. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden the cops are at your door and they're like, hey, by the way, she was murdered. Like, you go to the bathroom all over yourself. Like, you'd be terrified. You know what I mean? Like, I said it, but I didn't do it. Like, I didn't do it. You know?
Right.
I'd be like, take my DNA. Cleared. Yeah. Yeah, but I'd still be like, take my DNA, take, you know, anything that you need. I didn't do it. But just to, like, know that you're even being looked at for it would be terrifying.
Yeah.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Well, police continued their search. They had the killer's DNA, but there was no match in their system. Investigators reached out to a genetic company for help. Through testing, they determined that the person of interest was Native American with possible European or Latino heritage. But sadly, no leads would come in for years, and the case would go cold. That is, until 9 years later in September 2021, when the police made an arrest. Now, in August of 2021, 28-year-old Miguel Enrique Salaguero Olivares was arrested for driving under the influence. He was booked and a DNA sample was obtained. What shocked police is that Miguel's DNA was an exact match to the DNA found on Faith's body back in 2012. So on September 16, 2021, Miguel was arrested and charged with first-degree murder of Faith Hedgepeth. Detectives also found that Miguel's handprints matched those found on the bloodied rum bottle left at the crime scene. Faith's parents, Roland and Connie Hedgepeth, said, "I want to thank God for allowing me to see this day. Everything will be revealed that happened in Faith's death." Now, prosecutors continue to build their case, and Miguel remains behind bars in Durham County Jail. His next court date is set for mid-January 2025. So that's it. That's this week's case, which I know is a little different because we don't really have an end to it, but we definitely have a suspect and we have them arrested, and the family hopefully will get to see the justice that they deserve.
Yeah. Talk about cliffhangers. You're coming at me for cliffhangers. You're like, by the way, they caught this guy. Tune in next time to find out what happens.
So, tune in to January 2025.
Yeah. Man, there is something about these cases where when something so tragic happens, to see the person get caught years after. And again, it's just this idea of them walking around thinking like, I got away with this and there's no evidence that it's me and I haven't been caught. You know what I mean? And you're just walking around every day being, and I wonder, depending on the kind of person, are you walking around being like, I'm waiting for that foot to drop and I'm always looking over my shoulder? Or is it like, I'm smarter than everybody? You know, they're not going to catch me. You know, who knows what else this guy has done that he hasn't been caught for. But to know that, like, you had one too many drinks, man, he got behind the wheel. And because of that, now you have to pay for what you did. There is something super satisfying about that. There's a part of me that just loves when these assholes get caught. Yep. You know, so I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. This is one that I definitely want to follow up on. And I'm, what I'm nervous about, like, from, you know, what we do is like, are, cause this is one of those cases where, like, I want to know why it was there, how they met. You know, we could speculate all day.
Is one of the guys, you know, that they were texting, like, what's the motive behind it? What was his involvement? How, did he know them? Like, I need to know more.
Yeah. Did you see him walking home from the, you know, coming home from the bar or something like that? Right. Like, I don't know. I'm super interested to see if we get those answers, because we don't really get those a lot of the time. So I'm hoping that he doesn't take any kind of plea deal or anything like that. And that, like, he has to stand trial for it and we get the evidence. Because I feel like, you know, something like this, exactly what Faith's parents are hoping for. Like, they deserve the answers to those questions. And it could be possible that they, you know, they may get some information from the prosecutor, but you know, you don't really know, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Yeah. I want there to be like some finality to it. What about you?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about everything you just said. You know, I want to know the answers. I hope we get the answers. And then, you know, I'm sure, I mean, who knows? We don't even know what the court hearing is for. Like, is it for him to plead? Is it him, you know, like, I'm definitely going to be keeping tabs on Miguel in January so that we can figure out what exactly the path is of this. Is this case going to go to trial? Do they have enough evidence to really put him behind bars for, you know, for a while?
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is like, it's really going to bother me if we don't find out what's going on. So I don't know, when we're talking something like deadbolt test, I think I touched on this a little bit earlier, but like, for me, this is one of those ones that's just terrifying. It's like, mm-hmm. It is super scary to just be like, you're in your house, you know, because right now it's all speculation, right? But like, if it is, hey, I saw these girls leaving the bar and decided I was going to follow them, right? Like, there is something so horrifying about that. Or, you know, like you were saying, like, was it that, you know, he knew some of these other guys that these girls were texting and was like, oh, they're there. I'm going to go over there. Like, that's horrifying. So the idea, like, your house is the place where you're supposed to be safe, you know? Yeah. And so to think that somebody would come in and violate that is just, God, it freaks me out so bad. So I think something like this, against, especially being a dad, I'm going to put this, I think I would put this probably like an 8. What about you? Where's something like this fall?
That's where I was going to put it, about an 8. It's terrifying for a young girl to be in her home and be brutally attacked. And that's all I'm going to say about that as a young girl who lives alone. But I just want to know that connection, because if it was random, that's even more terrifying. And if it's, you know, but maybe if it's somebody that they knew, you know, they didn't really give too much information on who these guys were that Karina was texting, but it seems like she was going through a breakup with the guy, Brandon.
Eric? Oh yes. Yeah. Cause she was dating Eric and then,
but then they had text Brandon to come over that, you know, she needs you, whatever. And so I don't know. I feel like more details needs to come out. I hope that this is a case where we get all the information, but terrifying to say the least. It's an 8 for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's like, you know, again, I know statistically, right, like it is highly improbable, but there are so many of these cases having kids or having a child, right, where, you know, like I watched that JonBenet Ramsey documentary on Netflix, which, I mean, we won't even start on that because I will talk to you for an hour and 20 minutes about just how messed up that case was. But at the end of the day, there was like a 6-year-old girl. And as a father of a 6-year-old girl, I'm watching that and like I had tears running down my face. Like that stuff just like,
yeah, I don't know how you're watching that.
Yeah. Well, you know, but that was one of those cases that like I was a kid when it happened. It's been in the zeitgeist and in pop culture like since I was a child. Yeah. It's like you've grown up with it. And every once in a while, you know, I feel like it's like kind of like our parents with the, oh man, I'm forgetting his name now, but he's like the mobster or the Teamster guy, Jimmy Hoffa. He's the Teamster guy who just went missing. And every couple of years, it's like, he's buried in this guy's backyard. And, you know, it's just one of those things that is, since you've been alive, it's always been like a part of what's been going on in the world. And I feel that way with the Ramsey case, but you know, it's statistically, I know it's improbable, but you know, we look at the statistical anomalies of what we do, you know what I mean? And so it kind of like raises the spider sense where, you know, like even today, like Millie wanted to go play with some kids in the neighborhood and there's a couple little boys that I'm like, well, like they play outside, you know what I mean? But it's, you know, we were talking about like when we were kids, it was, yeah, it's just a group of kids. You go out, do whatever you want to do, run around the neighborhood.
When the streetlights come on.
Nobody's watching.
That's truly how it was.
Yeah, and now
nobody watched us.
No way. When we left, that's how That's how Kara's mom broke her arm. She was breaking down boxes while she was watching them play across the street. So, you know, I'm not saying it's our fault, but it's our fault.
It's your fault. No.
But, you know, it's like you look at these things now under a different lens because we look at so much of it that it's just it hits a little bit differently, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test. Olivia and I are both putting the case at an 8, but as always, we want to hear from you, the locksmiths, the listeners. Where does the murder of Faith Hedgepeth fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to get to know you, spend a little bit of time with you. We're posting pictures of our Christmas trees right now. Some beautiful trees.
Some beautiful trees.
I know. I am not very interior design is definitely not my strong suit. But looking at everybody else, I'm like, oh, that's like, we could do that. That's really cool. Somebody has a spinning Christmas tree in the Facebook group. I'm like, all right, show out.
Yeah. I'm like, I just got my basic tree with my childhood ornaments that I choose to put on there. E.T. broke yesterday, so I got to glue him back together.
Oh, yeah. We've had the same tree since 2016, and that's because the year before that, we didn't have a Christmas tree, so I cut one out of construction paper at Kara and I's first house that we rented, and I taped it to the wall, and then I put our kitchen table underneath it, and all the Christmas presents went on the kitchen table, so it was like underneath the Christmas tree.
Have you saved that forever?
I think I have it somewhere. I have pictures of it, though, where I'm just like,
you have to save that.
Yeah. That was like our very first, like on our own Christmas, where it was just like, look, we're poor kids, you know, but it was like a South Park Christmas tree. That's what it looked like. So we're sharing pictures of those Christmas trees. Really is a wonderful community. We'd absolutely love to have you as a part of it. So if you do want to join, there is a link to join the Facebook group in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. So come hang out with us. We would absolutely love to again, just spend a little bit of time with you. It's the best place on the internet. And Olivia, one thing I did want to do, because I don't know if you missed this with getting ready to go out of town, but there was an update on one of the cases that we had covered previously. And mm-hmm. I thought we would just do a quick rundown of the update. But when I say the name Sarah Boone, does that ring any bells for you? Because it was a case that you actually brought. And I know we've done a lot of them, so I don't know if you need a refresher or if it is familiar.
Can I get a refresher?
So she is the woman who locked her boyfriend in the suitcase.
Yes, yeah. I didn't click the update, but I saw that there was an update.
Yes. So she was sentenced to life in prison.
Great.
Where she was originally, I believe, offered like a 15-year plea deal. And she turned it down, saying that like she was innocent and that she wanted to go to trial, that she'd be found innocent. And it looks like, as of the second, she was actually found guilty and sentenced to life in prison for keeping Torres in the suitcase. Yeah.
How did she think she'd be found innocent?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's because if I remember correctly, like they had
videos of her and him moving in. The only thing you don't have is an actual video, or at least that the public can see, of her putting him in there. But there's only two people there, and he's in a suitcase and she is not. And she's taunting him. I mean, that was so disturbing for me.
Yeah, she is like laughing in the video.
Mm-hmm. And he's like pleading. I can't ever watch that video again. It's so disturbing. But yeah, well, there's no way that any jury would find her not guilty.
Well, and the other crazy thing is that after her sentencing, she was in front of the court and she sent a lengthy letter to the judge offering her forgiveness to everyone involved in the case. Okay, so here it is. I actually found an excerpt of it on Court TV's website, but it reads, this is part of her statement, but by my reserving particular parts of this very true and meaningful statement, I was hoping to have been graced with your forgiveness, understanding and consideration in any level or degree. For me, unfortunately, and regardless of whom I had speak on my behalf or the number of your ignorant mind was already made up, I have also added to my statement, as a result of your blindness and impartiality, foremost, your disgust in me as being an outspoken woman, determined defendant, and proactive client, hoping the next time you put on your listening ears and do not unfairly oppress the next as you have so blatantly done to me. So she's basically, I forgive you for finding me guilty because I'm an outspoken right. woman, as opposed to like,
you're just
locked,
freaking guilty woman.
Yeah. There's video evidence of you locking somebody in a suitcase.
In a suitcase.
So I just thought it would be interesting to come back. Another part. I forgive your antics, theatrics, ludicrous comments to make sure the world got their money's worth while watching with ignorant pitchforks and burning torches, hoping the best for you, which is my worst. Instead of dropping the mic, Mr. J, you dropped the bat. And I think that was to her her attorney. So
her attorney.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like delusion yeah. that I don't know. But, you know, because that case, I remember we listened to, we didn't play it on the show, I don't think, but we listened to it and then came back and talked about it. Yes. And I remember how like rattled you were. So I was like, oh, there was an update. Mm-hmm. Like, let's loop back and talk about it.
Yeah. But I remember seeing that but I just never clicked on it and read anything about it. But thanks for that.
No problem at all. Like I said, I know you're globetrotting. You might have missed it. Yeah. Globetrotting, jet setting. So, well, Olivia, also, since it is your birthday, I know there's one thing you like more than anything. And so I figured maybe we can listen to a voicemail. What do you think?
Oh, I would love that because I don't have any 5-star reviews on Apple.
Well, you should probably leave us a review if you're listening and you haven't done so. But somebody was kind enough to call in and leave us a voicemail. So let's take a listen, see what we got. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Hey, John and Olivia, this is Melissa from Biloxi, Mississippi. And I just wanted to leave you a voicemail because you said you liked them. I wanted to give you both props for Check the Locks. I listen to it every week and look forward to when the new cases come out. You both work so well together and are so sweet, and I really enjoy it. Your cases are always interesting. You're to the point with it. You give the best highlights of the case, and I just wanted to say thank you for keeping us all interested and have something good to listen to. Keep up the good work. You two have wonderful holidays. Bye-bye.
That is so sweet. And Melissa is just down the road from me.
Oh, no way.
In Biloxi, Mississippi?
Melissa from Biloxi.
Just down the street, just right down I-10. But that was really sweet. And I think it's funny that she thinks you're nice.
She said, we're nice. She didn't just say me. Don't. She said, I think you're so nice. Meaning the both of us.
I know, I'm the nice one. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. John's very sweet.
I cover it up.
So you don't have a podcast ready.
No, yeah. Even when you have a podcast ready,
John's very right. sweet.
Hold on, y'all. We're stopping this recording for a second. Somebody and myself need to have a talk. I wanted to say thank you, Melissa, because one of my favorite things about that was like, I love how you guys just kind of get to the point.
Yeah, like, but we don't feel that we do that.
No, well, we played this voicemail on episode where we talked for 14 minutes before we started getting the case. So,
but this is our first meetup since I've been back. So we had valid reason to talk for a long time today.
Yeah, that's 110% true. But Melissa, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time. Since I'm the sweet one, I will go ahead and say thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the show and to leave us that voicemail. And just so glad that you like it. And, you know, again, this is one of the reasons when Olivia and I started this podcast, it's crazy to say years ago now, but it was like, that's the one thing that we hoped, is that people like just listened to it and kind of, you know, liked our approach to it. And so hearing from you and knowing that you enjoy and not only enjoy the show, but like letting us kind of, if you listen every week, like I feel like we get to hang out with you, you know, like there are podcasts that I listen to every week where I'm like, these people are part of my lives. Like I've listened to them, you know, when I'm going to, you know, important things, you know, when I'm at work, you know, I have them in my ear and stuff like that. And so the fact that you let us be part of that for you, it really just does mean a whole heck of a lot. So I hope you have a wonderful holiday as well. And I just thank you so, so very much for taking the time. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that. Maybe not so sweet, Olivia, but I'll let you take it over.
I mean, you say it all so beautifully. So of course you're the sweet one. But yes, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate the voicemails. I love hearing from our listeners because it is like talking to them. And yeah, just leave us some more. Make it real happy.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. And Melissa, reach out. We would love to get you some stuff. You can send us a message in the Facebook group. You can send us a message on Instagram. Again, that's Instagram, Check the Locks Pod. If you follow us on Twitter, that's Check the Locks on Twitter as well. But if you reach out, we would love to send you some stuff. We got stickers, buttons, all sorts of stuff. We'd love to get you something. You know, it was a little, probably be a little late Christmas gift, but get you something out there. So definitely feel free to reach out. We'd love to get you something. And if you would like to give us a call and leave us a voicemail, we'd love to hear from you as well. Again, you know, what you like about the show, anything you'd like to see different, is there a case you'd like covered, anything at all, we would love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail. If you're in the United States, you can give us a call toll free, 615-920-9393. Again, that's 615-920-9393. That's just a cell phone number, folks. Give us a call. You'll hear me and Olivia on the voicemail message. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're outside of the United States, you can actually go to checkthelockspod.com, click the little microphone button. You can leave us a voicemail there as well. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail. You can send us an email at contact@checkthelockspod.com. Again, any way you want to reach out, we would love to hear from you. Love to play your feedback on the show or read those emails, anything like that. So again, just really appreciate you reaching out and interacting with us. It does mean the world. And if you like what we do, you want to help financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits. You get stickers, coffee mugs, plus you get the show commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you like what we do, you want to help us keep the lights on, that is patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us every week, sharing what we do with your friends and family means just as much, if not more. So if that is you, you're listening to the show, you're sending those links, check out this case, listen to this episode, I love this podcast, just know that we appreciate that so much. Again, that helps us grow in ways that we can't put into words. You sharing what you like about Check the Locks with the people who are important to you, it really does help us find new listeners, extend our family. Again, it's all about that grassroots growth. So if you are sharing this, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. And before we go, talking about the holiday schedule coming up, you know, with Christmas being here and people being with their families, we are very aware that we are not the kind of podcast that you can just kind of put on in the background while the kids are opening presents and, you know, just have, you know, kind of hanging out in the back there. As much as we would love to, we know that we talk about some stuff that isn't always maybe the most family friendly. I know, you know, I don't know if like with your nieces and nephews, Olivia, if you'd just be like, hey, go ahead and open this up. I'm just going to, you know, turn on this very bloody podcast in the background.
You know, I don't think my nephews actually know that I do a podcast. I mean, I think they do because they see the equipment in here and mess with it, but they definitely aren't interested in it. But they're also 13 and 15, but
yeah,
no, we wouldn't listen to it. If it was me, my mom, and my sister in the car together and probably my dad, yeah, we'd listen. They've done that driving with me in the car before, which is highly weird for me to hear like, my own voice. I'm like, I'm sorry, you'll have to hear this. And my mom's like, I talk to you all the time. This is just who you are. This is you.
Yeah, you just don't hear yourself. No, Millie would have a lot of questions. Dad, what's bludgeon mean? You know, so
like, what's sodomized?
Right. Yeah. Which are, you know, again, as much as we love being part of your family and your routine, you know, we don't want to traumatize any children. So with that, this year, we're going to have a little bit of a different holiday schedule. So the way that's going to work for us this year, we'll have our short on time this week, and then we will be back with another full episode on the 23rd. And then with Christmas, you know, and then the new year coming up, we will be off from the 23rd up until the 1st. And we will be back with a short on time episode on Thursday, the 2nd, our very first episode of 2025. So again, just wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update there with Christmas travel stuff. And again, you know, people being with families, we just wanted to make sure everybody had time to do the things that they needed and things of that nature. So we'll be back well before Christmas, but again, you know, just wanted to give everybody kind of a heads up there. So we know what to expect and things of that nature. So that is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.